You are listening to the weekly message from Woodbridge Community Church in Irvine. Our vision as a church is to help all people meet, know, and follow Jesus. We are currently in the seventh week of the series called Keep Following, based on the book of 2 Peter. Today's message is titled Stirring in God's Spoken Word, and is taught by Pastor Frank Winans. For more information, visit woodbridgecommunitychurch.org.
Good morning. Well, it's Memorial Day weekend, and you've chosen to not go anywhere. Would you stand with me? This morning, we want to read the chapter of 2 Peter, chapter 3. So this morning, as we read God's Word, realize that we're about to read a document that has been around for 2,000 years, and the words that we're about to read will be here long after you, being a vapor that passes in the wind. The Word of God is eternal. The Apostle Peter writes these last words before his death. And he said this, writing to the church around 64 AD. He says, "Dear friends, this is now my second letter to you. I have written both of them as reminders to stimulate you to wholesome thinking. I want you to recall the words spoken in the past by the holy prophets and the command given by our Lord and Savior through your apostles. Above all, you must understand that in the last days, scoffers will come, scoffing and following their own evil desires. They will say, 'Where is this coming he promised? Ever since our ancestors died, everything goes on as it has since the beginning of creation.' But they deliberately forget that long ago, by God's word, the heavens came into being. The earth was formed out of water and by water. By these waters also, the world of that time was deluged and destroyed by the same word. The present heavens and earth are reserved for fire, being kept for the day of judgment and the destruction of the ungodly. But do not forget this one thing, dear friends. With the Lord, a day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years are like a day. The Lord is not slow in keeping his promises, as some understand slowness. Instead, he's patient. He's patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come like a thief in the night. The heavens will disappear with a roar. The elements will be destroyed by fire, and the earth and everything done in it, and everything done in it will be laid bare. Since everything will be destroyed in this way, what kind of people ought you to be? Good question. You ought to live holy and godly lives as you look forward to the day of God and speed its coming. That day will bring about the destruction of the heavens by fire, and the elements will melt in the heat. But keeping with his promise, we are looking forward to a new heaven and a new earth where righteousness dwells. So then, dear friends, since you are looking forward to this, make every effort to be found spotless, blameless, and at peace with him. Bear in mind that our Lord's patience means salvation. Just as our dear brother Paul also wrote to you with the wisdom that God gave him. He writes the same way in all his letters, speaking in them of these matters. His letter contains some things that are hard to understand, which ignorant, unstable people distort as they do the other scriptures to their own destruction. Therefore, dear friends, since you have been forewarned, be on your guard, so that you may not be carried away by error of the lawlessness and fall from your secure position. But grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be glory both now and forever." And we all can say, amen. Amen. Our Father in heaven, we come before you this morning in the name of your Son, Jesus. Lord, we again have left our homes to come to this house, to this place of meeting, to meet with God. Jesus, you're the one that told us that the Father desires for people to worship him in spirit and truth. And Lord, we want to come this morning to worship you in spirit with our hearts, and we come to worship you in truth with our minds. We ask, Lord, that you would walk among us this morning as a church family. Would you open our hearts, God, and speak within us? Speak to us, God, collectively as the body of Christ and individually as your child. We pray for the person behind the pulpit this morning. This person would speak clearly and without error. And God, this would be done for your glory and your glory alone. We pray these things in Jesus' mighty name. And all those who love God would say what?
Amen.
And y'all may be seated. Good morning to you. And it is Memorial Day weekend. And so they didn't make this holiday for barbecue. That's not why we celebrate this weekend. We celebrate this weekend because we remember those that have gone before us, that have served our country and actually died. And so it's called Memorial Day weekend. It's a day to remember those that have died for our liberties, those that have died for our freedoms. And so I want to ask a question. How many people in here know of somebody that has passed away fighting for our liberty and our freedoms? Would y'all raise your hand? Look around. Would you say a name? Who are you thinking of?
Henry Wesley.
Give me a name.
Kent.
Who?
Kent.
Last name?
Peters.
Kent Peters. Another one.
Joseph Tolosi.
Give me some names of people. Go for it, Harry.
Golden Lang.
Is he the guy that died 15 days before the end of World War II? Harry has a buddy of his that he went through flight school with in World War II. And his buddy died 15 days before the end of World War II. Isn't that sad? Who would be think about the last person that would die. That's sad. Who else? Names. Bob's father, your father. Who else? We're remembering names today.
Joe Sweetland.
Memorial Day, these names are people. There's a guy that a good man in our church we buried this year. His name was Chuck Price. Chuck Price was the last man who was buried of his tank unit in Vietnam. They were all exposed to Agent Orange. And Chuck was the last guy in his tank unit that just passed away. We just buried him. Chuck was he died serving his country. Good man. I was at Chuck's house, and as he was passing away, and Chuck said he was talking about an incident in Vietnam, and he said there was this guy, it was a first sergeant in his unit that was the toughest guy in his tank unit. And he said one day he saw him reading his Bible and he started making fun of his first sergeant. His first sergeant said, "Young man, you have no idea what you're talking about, basically." He said, "Only Christians should be over here fighting this war because we're the only ones prepared to die." He says, "It sucks to watch you young kids get killed and you have no idea where you're gone." He said, "Only Christians should be over here fighting." Chuck told me this story with tears in his eyes. It was one of the reasons why he became a Christian was because of this first sergeant, this tough veteran who was fighting in a tank in Vietnam. There's these people. The reason why you and I get to live in freedoms, do you know that this is illegal to meet in this place in many countries in the world? We'd be hiding meeting as believers, not here in America. God bless the people who've died that this country can be free. Do I hear an amen?
Amen.
Amen. Our Father, we want to lift up the names of those that we can think of here in this room. God, we pray for these people that young in life, people that shouldn't have passed away when they did, we remember them this Memorial Day weekend, God, and we think of them, we pray for them, we pray for their families, and we ask, God, that you would remind all of us in this room of the privilege that we have to be free. It doesn't come free. From the birth of this great nation to the sustaining of this great country, God, this isn't the best. It's not a perfect land, Lord, but it's a good land. And we thank you for it, Lord Jesus. And we remember these people in your most holy name. Pray for our country, God. Pray for our president and our congressmen and our senators and mayors and governors. God, help us. Help us, we pray, to stay on the foundations of what this country was made. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Has to be said. Hey, fly your flag tomorrow, would you? Fly your flag tomorrow. And you can have a barbecue. That's cool. In your barbecue, remember why this weekend is what it is. We as a congregation have been reading and studying the book of 2 Peter since Easter. And the series, we're calling it Keep Following. And we kind of started the series by meeting Peter. We wanted to meet Simon. Really, is his good Hebrew name, Simon. And Jesus gave him the nickname Rock, which is Arabic Cephas or Greek. It's Peter, means rock. And Jesus met Simon and said, you're a rock. And certainly, we met Simon Peter and how he came to meet and know and began following Jesus. As we come to 2 Peter, he is writing this letter right before he's going to die as a martyr. And he even writes in the first chapter, my days are numbered. And he realizes that he's about to die for Christ. And as he writes 2 Peter, he writes it to the church right before the wave of a great persecution was about to break forth. Before the great first Roman imperial persecution of the believers of Jesus. And so we began studying this book and reading this book, and we were reminded that 2,000 years ago, did y'all know that 2,000 years ago, people died for their faith in Jesus? Did y'all realize that? Do you realize that 2,000 years later, people are still dying because of their belief in Jesus? And for example, here's a picture that just kind of grieves all of us. As these Egyptian believers are having their heads cut off because of Christ, and if you actually watch the video, which I don't say to do, you can see them mouthing Jesus. They are, it's disturbing. That's why we're wearing orange ribbons as we go through this series, because Peter's epistle was written under the shadow of this, the persecution of this. It's a serious letter. It's a serious topic. And it's a beautiful letter that Peter writes so elegantly, I would say, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. Peter tells these believers to keep following. You want to know why? Because Jesus is true. He says it's true. It's true. And so will we live for truth and need be die for truth is the great challenge. So as we open the book of 2 Peter and we read 2 Peter, it's like the theme is the knowledge of God. He just talks about the knowledge of God, the knowledge of God. He says it four times in the first chapter alone, the knowledge of God. It's like this theme. If good information of God, true information of God is so important in times like this. I'm sure these guys are wondering, why am I doing this? I could just deny Jesus and they'll let me go accept Allah right now, right? Peter speaks the importance of good, right information about God in 2 Peter chapter 1. In 2 Peter chapter 2, he warns people to watch out for false teachers and false preachers about God. Watch out for bad information of God and the people who teach it. And he says, this is how you can recognize them. Watch out how they teach about Jesus, and watch out how they live their lives. If you look at these two things, you can spot a false teacher. Peter's vocabulary in the second chapter is confrontive, and it's strong. The tone of the chapter is intense. as well, just, it's a serious topic. Peter speaks. In contrast, as you move into the third chapter, he now ends his letter speaking to believers in more of a gentle and endearing language, a tone, I guess you could say. The last words of the great apostle Peter says this, "Dear friends, this is now my second letter to you. I have written both of them." Why? Peter, why did you write these? As reminders to stimulate or to stir in to you wholesome thinking, true thinking, right thinking. Peter says, "I've written these to stir into your minds wholesome thinking, true thinking, right thinking about God." He says, "I want you to recall the words spoken in the past by the holy prophets and the command given by our Lord and Savior through your apostles." What is this? It's the Word of God. Words spoken by the prophets, Moses and the prophets, right? Good information about God. True information about God, right information about God. Moses and the prophets and the teachings of the apostles. Peter places Moses, the prophets, and Jesus' apostles all on the same level. The Holy Spirit spoke through them all. It's called Scripture. Look at what he says. In the 15th chapter, of the 15th verse of this, he says, "Bear in mind that our Lord's patience means salvation," Peter says, "just as our dear brother Paul also wrote to you with the wisdom that God gave him. He writes the same way in all his letters, speaking in them of these matters. His letters contain some things that are hard to understand, which ignorant, unstable people distort, as they do the other scriptures to their own destruction." Paul's writings are scripture, just like Moses. According to Peter. That's interesting, isn't it? What is this? It's the Word of God. Please hear me. Moses, the prophets, the Old Testament, Matthew, Mark, Luke, the writings of John, Acts, the writings of Paul, the writings of Peter, the writings of Jesus' half-brother, James and Jude, the New Testament, it's all Scripture. And it's true knowledge, knowledge of God. It's the theme, friends, of 2 Peter. This is good knowledge of God, good information of God. Now, before I say this, I want you to repeat after me, "Pastor Frank is not a mean person." Say that. Okay, I want you to say it all in one accord. Ready? 1, 2, 3. "Pastor Frank is not a mean person." Okay? This is the Quran. Bad information about God. Okay? Jesus didn't die on the cross for your sins. He's a prophet. Muhammad's the later prophet. You listen to Muhammad, not Jesus. You're all still in your sin. You are not forgiven by God. Bad information. Do you understand? The Book of Mormon. Jesus is a God just as there are many gods. And you one day can become a god too if you'd like. As man is, God once was, as God is, man may become. God was once a man that evolved into godhood. Jesus and Satan are spirit brothers. Bad information about God, twisting. Do you understand? Buddha, teachings of Buddha. Buddha, to me, as I read this, I look at Buddha as a philosopher trying to understand the meaning of life with no illumination or revelation. When you die, you are reincarnated over and over again. Y'all know that? And then you'll finally pull it off and get it right. Is that Jesus? Is that true information? It's not. It's not. Is it okay to say that? In this postmodern world, this politically correct world, it's not right to say somebody's wrong. Jen, would you stand up for a second? Jen's a physics teacher at Laguna Beach High School. Is Jen wrong as a teacher when she tells her students that got the test wrong that she's a bad person? Can the student just say, well, Miss Merritt, well, that's your opinion of what truth is, but my opinion is I got the test right. Is she a mean person to tell her students they're wrong when they got the test wrong? Answer?
Yes.
Yes. Truth is truth. 2 + 2 = 4. Now, if you want to live that it's 7, go ahead. You're going to have problems in life. You understand? There's truth and there's error. And you're not a bad person when you tell somebody you think they're wrong. Dear friends, this is now my second letter to you. I have written both of them, why? As reminders to stimulate, to stir into you wholesome thinking, right thinking, true thinking. I want you to recall the words spoken in the past by the holy prophets and the command given to you by our Savior through your apostles. Accurate information about God is important. Why? Accurate information about God is important. Why? Okay. Is important, wholesome, true information about God important? How many people would say, you know, that is probably important? How many people in here would say, it's not important at all? Why is it important? Because people will live their lives based upon how they perceive God to be. Think about that. A great theologian, a guy that I really dig on, is a guy called A.W. Tozer. If you guys want to look for a great book to read the book called The Knowledge of the Holy. And A.W. Tozer says that people will live their lives based upon how they perceive God to be. Is he right? Does belief affect behavior? For example, the World Trade Center and people flying into the World Trade Center, did they perceive God to be a certain way? Yes. If I die, I'll be forgiven. There's virgin women awaiting in heaven. I'm fighting against the great Satan of the West. They flew into these buildings to kill people in the name of their God. This is true. Belief affects behavior. Okay? Somebody comes knocking on your door with a white shirt and they want to tell you that they're working their way into godhood. They're being good Mormons. The reason they're knocking on the door is because of their belief system. You understand? Is that you go to India, friends, and you walk the streets of Calcutta, and there are people dying of starvation while cows walk around. In-N-Out Burger walks right by people as they're starving. How can this be? Because in reincarnation, right, you don't kill cows. They're this, they're that. And by the way, why help the poor people in Calcutta? Because in their past life, they did something bad, so their karma is now giving them just now. So the orphan and the widow and the poor people, you leave them alone because they're being punished for their past lives. Worldview, you understand? So who are the people in Calcutta feeding the orphan and the widow? Answer? Mother Teresa and her organization, why was she there? Jesus. You see, Jesus goes against that. Jesus says you only live once and then the judgment. Jesus says that we're all made in the image of God. That every human being is important. So the people that are over there are Christians because they believe things differently. Why is information about God so important? Because people live their lives based upon how they perceive God to be. Even an atheist lives himself that way. You see, in an atheist, there is no God, so I can live my life the way I want to, and I'm accountable to nobody. No matter how you slice it or dice it, people live their lives based upon how they perceive God to be. Who's right? Who's right? You understand? 1 Peter chapter 1, knowledge of God. 1 Peter chapter 2, bad information about God. Watch out. 1 Peter chapter 3, dear friends, this is now my second letter to you. I've written them both of them to remind you, to stimulate, to stir into you, to you wholesome thinking, true thinking, right thinking. I want you to recall the words spoken in the past by the holy prophets and the command given by our Lord and Savior through your apostles. Does it make sense? So take notes, right? Take notes. You can take notes in your worship folder right there. Note number one, Peter's main point in this letter is the importance of knowledge of God. It's the theme of the letter. You should write that down. Why did he write his letter? This is why. Notes. Take this, think about this, stimulate, stir in this into your being. Number two, the purpose of Peter's letter is to stimulate or to stir in, just like you put... If you like cream with your coffee, you stir in the coffee. You like chocolate milk, you stir in the chocolate. Peter's purpose of writing this letter is to stimulate, to stir into the believers wholesome, true thinking. That's why he wrote the letter. You with me? Above all, it's interesting. Above all, Peter says, you must understand that in the last days, scoffers or mockers will come scoffing or mocking and following their own evil desires. They will say, where is this coming? He promised. Ever since our ancestors died, everything goes on as it has since the beginning. But they deliberately forget that long ago, by God's word, the heavens came into being, and the earth was formed out of water and by water. By these waters also the world of that time was deluged and destroyed. By the same word, God's word, the present heavens and earth are reserved for fire, being kept for the day of judgment and the destruction of the ungodly. Christians have always believed Jesus in the promise of him coming back to the earth again. Christians have always believed the promise of Jesus that one day he was going to come back to the earth again. Peter says that in latter days, the days before the coming of Jesus, that there will be scoffers, there will be mockers of this faith of the Christians. These scoffers do not listen to the prophets or to the apostles, nor do they look to the God, the Creator. They will debate the Christians with their own position that Jesus isn't coming and supporting their position with saying, ever since our fathers died, everything goes on as it has since the beginning of creation. Their argument is naturalistic. One that rules out any divine intervention in history. They deliberately forget, it says, that long ago by God's word, the heavens existed. The earth was formed out of water and by water. In Genesis chapter 1, verses 2 through 10, says that God created, that God spoke the world into existence, that water was over the earth and that the ground was formed out of the water. By these waters also, the world at that time was destroyed. God made the world with water, and God judged the world with water through the prophet who? Noah, right? Notes. Here's Peter's point. Peter says that God is not only the creator, but that he has the power to bring judgment and even destroy that which he created. Did you catch that? Peter says that God is not only the creator, but he has the power. God has the power to bring judgment and even destroy that which he's created. And now this is, I've been meditating on this all this week. I think it's so fascinating. Stir this in, if you would. By his word, he can create. And by his word, he can destroy. Let that sink in. By God's word, he can create. And by God's word, he can destroy. Stir that in. He has done this, friends, and he will do this again, Peter says. Pause on that. Take a deep breath and suck that in, if you would. This is God. This is the power of God, the sovereignty of God, the holiness and the righteousness of God, and the love and the patience of God, all colliding together in this chapter. Above all, Peter says, you must understand that in the last days, scoffers or mockers will come, scoffing and mocking and following their own evil desires. They will say, where is this coming he promised? Ever since our ancestors died, everything goes on as it has since the beginning of creation. But they deliberately forget that long ago, by God's word, the heavens came into being and the earth was formed out of water and by water. By these waters also came, also the world of that time was deluged and destroyed by the same word, the word of God. The present heavens and earth are reserved for fire, being kept for the day of judgment, destruction of ungodly men. By God's word, you and I exist. Molecules and atoms are created. DNA and the genetic code of life are spoken into existence. In the beginning, God created. God speaks, friends. And you and I exist. And God speaks, and his creation is judged. Noah. Someday, friends, God will speak again, and the world will be judged again, says the scriptures. Judgment is coming, and Jesus is bringing it. He's both the lion and the lamb. He's a lamb of Isaiah 53 that lays down his life. There's no greater love than this, Jesus says, than one would lay down his life for his friends, and you are my friends. Jesus died on the cross for your sin to make you holy and righteous before God. He who knew no sin became sin on our behalf that we might become the righteousness of God. All of your shame, all of your guilt, all of your evil, all of your sick, disgusting sin that offends God to the T, he has forgiven you upon the cross through his son Jesus. Jesus came to take your punishment upon himself so you don't take it. That's good news. Amen? Muhammad's wrong. Jesus died on the cross for you. He is the lamb who takes away the sin of the world, but he's also the lion of the tribe of Judah. Read Psalm chapter 2, where it says in the psalm, fear the Son of God, because he will come with judgment. How long can God allow evil to exist? It's a good question. It's asked in this chapter. A judgment's coming. Listen to the words of Jesus, Matthew chapter 13, verses 24 through 29. Jesus was teaching and he said these words, and Peter was listening to these words. Jesus told them another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like a man who sowed good seed in the field. But while everyone was sleeping, his enemy came and sowed weeds among the wheat and went away. When the wheat sprouted and formed heads, then the weeds also appeared. The owner's servants came to him and said, "Sir, didn't you sow good seed in your field? Where did the weeds come from?" "An enemy did this," he replied. The servant asked him, "Do you want us to go and pull them up?" "No," he answered, "because while you are pulling up the weeds, you will also uproot the wheat which is in them." Jesus teaching a parable, right? His apostles said, "Will you please help us understand what you just said?" Matthew 13, 36 through 43. Then he left the crowd and went into the house. His disciples came to him and said, "Explain to us the parable of the wheat in the field." He answered, "The one who sows the good seed is the Son of Man." That's Jesus. "The field is the world. And the good seed stands for the people of the kingdom. The weeds are the people of the evil one. And the enemy who sows them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the age. And the harvesters are angels. As the weeds are pulled up and burned in fire, so it will be at the end of the age. The Son of Man will send out his angels, and they will weed out of his kingdom everything that causes sin in all who do evil. They will throw them into the blazing furnace where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Then the righteous will shine like the sun in the kingdom of their Father. Whoever has ears to hear, let him hear." You got an ear? By the word of God, by the words of Jesus, judgment will come again. Probably the believers on the beach in Libya or the believers in the Colosseum being martyred for their faith are probably asking this question. Well, why do we have to go through persecution? What is God waiting for? Why does God allow evil to exist? You ever ask this question? How can he wait this long? Why doesn't God come back now? How many of you have ever asked that question? I have. Why hasn't God come back now? Why does God allow evil to exist? If there is a God, how can God allow evil to exist? Wonderful question. What is so cool about this chapter is Peter answers this question. He says, "Do not forget this one thing, dear friends." Peter almost assumes this question is going to be asked, and he just speaks. "Do not forget this one thing, dear friends. With the Lord, a day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is like a day. The Lord is not slow in keeping his promises." He sure seems slow to me. Well, God's not slow in keeping his promises. The promise of his second coming, that's the topic. As some understand slowness. "Instead, he is patient with you, mankind, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance." Why is God waiting? Why does God allow evil to exist? Why hasn't Jesus come back right now? What's the reason?
He wants everyone to have a chance.
Yeah. He doesn't want anyone to perish. He wants all to come to repentance. People, God's time is God's time. Do you know that? As a matter of fact, he's even outside the realm of time. With God, one day is 1,000 years and 1,000 years of one day. If you really want to fry your brain, think about this. You and I think in the sequence of thought and time. You and I are made within a continuum of time. God is outside the realm of time. God doesn't think in sequence. With him, one day is 1,000 years, 1,000 years is one day. God is eternal. He existed before even time began. He creates time. Fry on that if you wish. The point is that God sees things differently than you do. And in his sovereignty, in his time, things will happen. Why does God wait 2,000 years and counting for his return? The answer is, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever would believeth upon him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. It is because of this love for the world that Christ has not yet come. Do you understand? God is patient, not wanting any to perish and all to come to repentance. The Word of God speaks to us today in the grace of his love for you and I in the person of Jesus. If you read the Gospel of John, it says the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. So does God speak? By the Word of God, the heaven exists. By the Word of God, God judges his creation. The Word became flesh and dwelt among you and me. Think about this. Jesus is flesh, the Word of God in human flesh, and Jesus walks among us. And as Jesus speaks to you and me, it's the Word of God speaking to you and me. Do you know that today God is speaking into the world through his Son, Jesus? When Jesus says, "Come unto me, all ye that are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and I will give you rest for your souls." Do you realize that God speaks today into humanity? And it's a message of grace, of mercy. It's a message of love. Do you realize that God speaks to you today? The Word of God speaks to you today in the person of Christ. And you know what his message is for you? Come to me. Come to me for healing. Come to me for forgiveness. Come to me for life. Come to me for truth. God speaks in his Son. And the reason why he hasn't returned is because of his love. He's patient with you. Peter says his patience means salvation. His patience means salvation. Peter, who's about to die on the cross upside down in Rome, says, "This stinks. I'm going to die too. I don't want it." But God has many people that are going to come to him. Notes. Number 5. Why does God wait 2,000 years and counting for his return? Because God waits to offer us salvation. And all I can say is I'm glad he waited for me in the fall of 1985. In the fall, you know, it's funny, when I drive to church in the morning, I was thinking about when I was, I remember reading the Bible as a total skeptic. Read the Gospels one summer, like Jesus, went through real struggles of miracles and all this stuff, and began looking at the prophets and the prophecies of Christ, proving that he is who he says he is. And I was like, this is amazing. If there is a God, only God could know what could happen in the past or come into the future. I mean, I was impressed. And then finally, I went to Forest Home at a college briefing in the fall of 1985. And I remember sitting on a rock. This guy had said, "There are some of you in this place that have yet to accept Jesus." And I'm like, somebody told them I was here. There's 400 college students. I thought they were all picking on me. And they called it a discipline of silence. And I remember sitting out on a rock, looking up into the sky, after having a whole summer of reading the Gospels and trying to figure out, does God even exist, and this and that and the other. And I remember sitting on a rock and praying, "Jesus, I think you're real. That's the best I could do." That's pretty good faith, right? I think you're real. "And I want you to come into my life." I remember that day all the time. All the time. I had an encounter with the living God. The next morning I woke up and something was different. And I've been trying to figure out what that is for the last 27 years. The regeneration, the born again, whatever, the scriptures. I'm so thankful that the Lord waited Because he looks into the darkness in September of 1985 and says, no, I'm not coming yet, because here comes Frankie Winans coming to receive into the kingdom. The patience of God means salvation. We live in an age of grace, or the church age. The age where the word of God speaks, come to me. I'll give you life. Come to me. But you need to hear that this morning and remember your own time. I'm very thankful for the patience of God, because it's meant salvation to me. And you know, there are many out there that are still coming. And that's the only reason why Jesus hasn't come back. That's the only reason why he waits. If you're here on the fringe of faith, he's waiting for you. If you're here on the fence, he's waiting for you. And it's so funny. The atheist argues there is no God, because if there is a God, how can he allow evil to exist? And God's saying, I'm allowing evil to exist, so I'll let you, who's evil, come to me. But when I come back, I'll deal with the evil, and you're going to be toast. And someday, God's holiness just overrides his omnibenevolence, and he will come back and speak another word upon the earth, and it'll be a word of judgment. Fire, it says this time. God will judge the world with fire and consume the heavens and the earth. And then he creates a new one. Are you impressed? How's that for... Peter says, I want to stimulate you to wholesome thinking. Does 2 Peter chapter 3 stimulate you? Are you being stimulated this morning as you study this chapter? Are you being stimulated, stirred with God? And why? In his heart, in his love? You ever asked for the word of God to speak into your life? You ever said, God, speak? I'm going to ask the worship team to come up. It's a wonderful song that says, Word of God, speak. And I want you just to sing this song and make this song a prayer. If you listen closely, you'll hear God speak into your life this morning. God will speak wholesome, righteous, true thinking into your life. God will speak into your heart. Just listen to him. Let's sing this song with me. Thank you.
At a loss for words, and the funny thing is, it's okay. The last thing I need is to be heard, but to hear what you would say. The word of God speaks. Would you pour down like rain, washing my eyes to see your majesty, to be still and know that you're in this place. Please let me stay and rest in your holiness. To be with you, and in the quiet.
The Word of God speaks, and you exist. In the beginning, God speaks, and molecules and atoms and the DNA, the genetic code of life, comes from the Creator. The reason you exist is because God has spoken you into existence, friends. The reason you're here is because God has spoken you into life and into being. The Word of God speaks, and He judges. He's done it in the past, and He's going to do it in the future. But in the midst of all that, the Word of God speaks to you this morning. And it's a word of tender love. The Creator calls out to you to enter into Him a relationship of discipleship, of follow Him. Come to Me, all you that are weary. Are you weary in here? And heavy laden? Are you heavy laden in here? He says, I will give you rest if you come to Me. Jesus says to take My yoke upon you, to take My lordship and My authority upon your life. This is the Word of God speaking to you. He says, I am a gentle God and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. Come to Me for healing. Come to Me for truth. Come to Me for forgiveness. Come to Me for life. This is the Word of God speaking today, right here. Do you hear His voice? Would you all stand with me? And I want you to do this. I want you to raise your hand to heaven, just like this. Look up toward heaven and just tell the Lord, I hear You speaking to me today, Lord. Tell Him that you are weary. If you are, tell Him if you are heavy laden. Ask Him for His peace. Ask Him for His rest. If you've never accepted Jesus into your life, then you need to do what I did. Jesus, I think You're real, and I accept You into my life. It's the best I could do. I'm so glad I did, because He gave just what He promised, life and peace. Our Father God, Your Word has spoken to us this morning through Your Son, Jesus, and through the prophets, the apostles. Lord, we take Your yoke upon us, Your lordship upon our lives today. You are the Lord. You are the Creator. We are Your creation. We have been made in Your image. You are not made in ours, but we are made in Yours. We don't create You, we discover You. We don't create You into our image, making believe of who we think You are. You exist. And You made us. Lord, we wish to know You more, to understand You more. By Your Spirit, God, would You bring healing upon this place? By Your Spirit, would You bring peace upon this place? And rest.
So we continue lifting our hands toward heaven and asking God, Lord, speak to us. Let's sing this chorus again.
speak, would you pour down thy grace, washing my eyes to see your majesty, to be still and know that you're in this place. Please let me stay and rest.
Thank you for listening to Woodbridge Community Church's weekly podcast. If you would like more information about our current series or to hear past messages, please visit woodbridgecommunitychurch.org. There you can learn about how we can help you meet, know, and follow Jesus.